me. I'm Alex, and this is The Ramble. Larry Bubbles Brown is a regular on our program. We've done maybe 400 of these things. Boy, we've done a lot of them, Larry.
That's right. Yeah, it is a lot.
We started in, I think, 2016.
That is correct.
Yeah, and we've been doing them about every
10
week.
10 years, I guess, yeah.
Yeah,
jeez.
About every week, you know. But we're getting less and less people listening to our podcast, and I'm wondering if I shouldn't restructure how I do these, like take you and take Lori and take whoever else I have and put you all in an hour and a half pre-recorded and let people hear that.
That might be fun.
That might be better. I don't know. But anyway, it's interesting. But
or you could try some new people, too.
I could try some new people. I found a new person. What's her name? Shannon McCullough.
Wow, really? She was at the reunion show.
She was at the reunion show, and then I contacted her, and then we kind of went back and forth. I said, would you do a Zoom with me? And she said, yeah, sure, why not? And we did one the other day, and she was amazing. She's got so many stories to tell, you know? And so I'm going to.
What's she doing now?
Well, she's been married for 25 years to a guy who was a major director in porn films. I know the name. I can't remember his name right now that he used. And, you know, you would think that wouldn't last, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're in porn, you marry a porn director, it lasts 3 weeks, you know, or whatever it's going to last. They've been married 25 years.
Jesus.
I mean, that's really good. And they live up in in Sonoma. And he drives a limousine showing people wine country, which has got to be a good business. And she, I can't remember where she's working right now, but she had worked for zoos. And she's going back to school to study a wine technology, I think, something like that, wine science. I mean, she's bright. Brainy woman and has such an interesting life, you know, and has such a good attitude. She has such a good attitude about her time in porn. I said to her, I said, what was the best thing about it? She says that when you go to work, you get to have sex with a world-class sex athlete. You know, she said, I always look forward to the sex most of the time, unless it was a guy I didn't care for, in which case I didn't work with him, you know. She's terrific. She's just the best. She's honest.
And no regrets about having that still.
If I asked her if there were
floating around forever.
I asked her if she had any regrets. She said none at all. She said it was a wonderful time for me. She says, and then I got out of that business. I went to she studied accounting. She became an accountant for adult films. You know, I mean, she was pretty damn good. You know, and I like her. You know, she's just a nice person. So anyway, that's the new person we've added to the mix.
Well, she sounds like, because I always heard that most people in porn were not the most stable. But
well, no, I told her. I said the problem with porn, women in porn, is they're all young women who had no self-esteem, and all of a sudden they're making this gigantic amount of money, right? That never got reported to the IRS, so they kept it all. And they went out. What did they do with their money? They bought Coke. They partied. You know. And then when it was all over, because this kind of thing doesn't last forever, they had nothing. Meanwhile, she went home every night. And she saved her money. You know. Very, very smart woman. Just
wow.
Very, has real good sense of self. You know. So I really like her a lot. And then, of course, we do Lori, you know. The people don't come better than Lori Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You. And sometimes I do Chuck Farnham. You know, that's our little group. I don't do more than that because I only have 3 days a week. So I have to parcel out. You're usually always on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Lori's usually on Wednesdays, because that's usually when I do her, and then somebody else on Thursday, and in which case it's Chuck Farnham, or, you know, any one of a number of people who I bring in once in a while. But that's it. You know, there's our show, folks.
Well, there'd be some interesting people you could use maybe one time, interviews, I would think.
Yeah.
People like, I just ran into a couple weeks ago, Alex Reed, who...
He did. He's done very well.
Had a long writing career, and then he occasionally directs sitcoms, so...
Well, what sitcom was he directing? Was he Malcolm in the Middle was his?
He wrote for that, but he's directed several other sitcoms.
But I think he also directed Malcolm in the Middle, but I also saw him on some other show where he directed quite often.
Okay. Well, he's done that, and he got in at the end of broadcast TV when it was still big, so he did well.
Yeah. Oh, no, you right. I think I saw one of those shows he actually created. And, you get those credits, and you get a lot of money after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened to Seinfeld and Larry David after Seinfeld. I mean, they were each at the end of that worth about $500,000.
Half a billion.
Half a million. And then they started doing other shows. He did Curb Your Enthusiasm. Seinfeld came up with Comics and Cars Getting Coffee,
mm-hmm.
which was a smash. So now both of them are worth about $1 billion each.
I know. It's amazing.
You know, but I think they made more money off the properties they owned, like Curb Your Enthusiasm and so on, because Seinfeld, they had, they were the creators, and they were also the writers in many cases, and in the case of Seinfeld, he was a performer on the show, and in fact, Larry David, performed on the show. He was the voice of the Yankees owner, Steinbrenner. Yeah. And he appeared a couple of times in the show. But basically, I mean, you keep getting residuals for that stuff. And that's terrific. But they both did very well. You know, they made a fortune. And now Larry David has this new show on that he produced with Barack Obama on the history of the United States, which is his version of it, like, what if Larry David was part of something in history? How would it have turned out?
Oh,
and the best one is Rosa Parks. He's sitting next to Rosa Parks, and he's annoying. Okay. He's absolutely annoying. And finally, in the end, she's so disgusted, she gets up and goes to the back of the bus. You know,
that's funny.
But if I'm not ruining it for you, folks, there are a lot of other things that he does on that show that are just very funny.
That is funny. He has made a career by being annoying.
Yeah, but I mean, he's basically in all these things, he's annoying, okay? He's helping form the Constitution of the United States. And he's talking about, people shouldn't do this and people shouldn't do that. And he wants to put it all in the Constitution. And the other one that they had was Rob Reiner played Washington shaved his beard off for it.
Jeez.
And he's giving a speech about how this is going to be a wonderful country and everything. And Larry's out there going, yeah, but what if you get a guy? And then he starts listing stuff we all know that Trump did. And Reiner's going, well, that would never happen, you know. And then at one point you got, what's his name? The guy who has a talk show, Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel is playing a person in front of Washington. He says, well, what if the president can't take a joke? Yeah. It's a very funny show. So he's got another show he owns, you know. It's not a long-run show.
Did you ever interview him?
Interview Larry David? No. No. Never met him, never interviewed him. And it's amazing that I didn't run into him at some point.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
But, you know, I don't think he ever came up to San Francisco. I think that was part of it. And part of it was, I had Seinfeld on my show by phone, So he kind of, I think, knows who I am. But I never had Larry on, you know. And when we were doing those shows in San Francisco, Larry was only working the Seinfeld show. He hadn't yet started Curb. So there was no reason for him to go around plugging something.
Right.
You know, so. Anyway. But they, the two of them did very well. You know. And then, of course, the other multimillionaire is Larry Bubbles Brown.
You know. I always wonder what it would be like to have a money like that. I don't
Well, you know, you could still try out for, what do you call it, for sitcoms and things like that. Because you'd be great as a character actor in a sitcom.
Oh, at this age, I don't think anybody wants to see
you. You could easily be the grizzled... the grizzled next-door neighbor, you know.
The Vietnam vet with post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, something like that. You know, but I mean, you've got a great character, and you should have made money out of it. And the great thing about being a character actor is age doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, I often said, people go, well, why would you want to be a character actor? And I said, look how much money Walter Brennan made in his lifetime. You know, just by being a character actor. He never was a star of a film. He was a star of a show, a TV show, but he never was a big star. But yet he worked constantly, you know?
So think of some of the great character actors. Remember, had a big career in the 80s. It was M. Emmett Walsh.
You're right. You're absolutely right. He was a great character actor.
And who was the other one that... He's kind of a normal-looking guy. I can't remember his name. He was big in the 80s. He's kind of an odd guy.
You know what it is? I got to say this. I'm putting you down now, okay? So get ready for it. You never really worked hard at it.
No.
You know? Other people, they want to work. They want to do movies. They want to do character parts and so on and so forth. That's what they all hope for. You never want... I don't know if you wanted it or you just were afraid of trying to get it.
I think I didn't. I literally got into comedy because I didn't want to work hard. So.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. But why didn't you go out for the comedy roles on sitcoms, for instance?
Oh, I always thought I was a shitty actor or something.
Well, how do you know you're a shitty actor? You don't have to act. You only have to be your character.
Yeah, I guess, especially in TV, you don't have to be a good actor.
Here's the thing.
Seinfeld was pretty bad, at least in the beginning.
Yeah, let's say Seinfeld was always considered not a particularly good actor, you know. But he made the jokes pay off on that show because the jokes were written for him. Now, if you had a sitcom and somebody wrote the jokes for you in your voice, okay, I think you could do it.
Well, maybe Felipe will get a sitcom and take me along.
Yeah, yeah. But is Felipe up for a sitcom?
Oh, I'm sure he would be. Yeah.
This is Felipe Esparza.
Esparza, yes.
And he's a guy you open for on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
You're his favorite opening act.
He's great, yeah.
And it's strange because a lot of times Felipe's only act that he does is all in Spanish.
He has done. He did a Netflix special in Spanish.
Yeah. On the other hand, he does a lot of his show in English as well. But you play to that audience. You open. And he must love you because you must kill.
He likes me, and for that stupid sound I make, goes over with his crowd bigger than anywhere for some reason.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Wow. Could you do a second of it for us?
Nah.
Yeah, okay.
So.
It sounds like a bad Siamese cat, okay?
Yeah. I don't know why people... I have no idea why it's funny.
I had a Siamese cat that sounded exactly like that. I could have had him here and said, do an impression of Bubbles. And then I grab his bottom end, and whenever I would do that, he would meow. and he went, meh.
I can't believe you had a pet. Wow.
Oh, I had lots of pets. I had five cats at one time.
Five?
Yeah, well, we had two cats, and they screwed, and they screwed, and they screwed. And eventually, we were giving them away. We were like a pet adoption agency, for crying out loud.
I'd like to have a pet, but it's so depressing when they die.
Well, I had a cat of mine who was my favorite. Okay, his name was Shabbos, and that means Sabbath in Jew talk. I named him Shabbos because we got him on a Saturday. And he was just the best cat in the whole world. I mean, he just, I don't know, there was something about him. He was just so zen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I loved him. I loved him dearly. And then I had another cat called Charlie, who was an offspring of these. And he was a black cat, because sometimes if a Siamese breeds with a non-Siamese, the offspring are usually black. So he was one of the offspring, and he was very intelligent. He would sit there while I was watching television, and I'd be lying in bed, and he'd come over and sit on the lie on his back on the pillow, and then put his arm around my shoulder. How could you not love that?
Yeah.
You know. And then I had another cat named Mouse. Was it Mouse? Yeah, it was Mouse that did it. Yeah. Mouse, who came up with the idea of, she would watch my wife sitting on the toilet peeing, and she would, every time she'd be there in the bathroom, the cat would be in there looking at her doing it. So one night I'm asleep and I hear somebody peeing in the bathroom, and I look over and my wife is next to me, and I'm going, is there somebody in the house peeing in the toilet? And I went over and there was nobody. And I figured, that's strange. So the next night, the same thing happens, and I run in there, and there's nobody in there again, but I see two little wet paw prints on the toilet seat. And I go, couldn't be.
Wow, that's a smart cat.
And the next night, I went in there, and sure enough, there was Mouse sitting on the toilet, peeing. And people said to me, well, does she take a dump in the toilet? I said, well, you can't expect everything.
Yeah.
But, man, she learned to do it herself. There are whole books on how to teach your cat to pee on the toilet or to take a dump on the toilet. You get some thing and you put it underneath there, and after a while you remove it. Nah, nah, nah. Oh, we didn't have to teach her anything. She did it.
She observed, and, yeah, they're very observant.
Yeah. So, I've loved having cats. And dogs, I had a dog when I was a kid. You know, we lived in Marin County. That was a place you could have a dog or a cat, just let them leave the house and go out and play and do whatever they were going to do and come back. They come back when they're hungry, you know.
Trouble dogs are a little more maintenance.
Well, yeah, they're different. I mean, it's a whole different experience. I mean, they're trainable. Cats aren't trainable.
Yeah.
Cats will do what you want them to do, but you can't train them because they will then resist it. But I remember I had a, you know, Shabbos was a great cat. Yantif was the woman, girl cat we got, and she was mean. She just wasn't likable at all, you know. And then she gave birth to Charlie and to Mouse, and to, we had one other. Do we have one other? I think that was about it. You know, Mouse went blind when we got to California, but she could get around just as well as any of the other cats. You know, as long as we didn't cut her whiskers off, otherwise she'd get caught somewhere. You know.
Well, you got so much room now in that huge apartment, you could get a big pet.
Well, Marjorie wanted to get a cat a while back, and I said, yeah, how long are we going to live? And then somebody's going to have to take the cat on, you know, and whatever. And she said, well, you know, who knows? Well, that was like 10 years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a cat. You know, it's like when I lived in Marin County, when I lived in California, and I was working at Live 105, and KMEL. And when I first went there, somebody said, why don't you buy a house? And I said, well, you know, this is such an insecure business. Who knows how long I'm going to be here? Well, 20 years later, I hadn't bought a house. You know,
yeah, yeah.
And 20 it lasted 20 years or something in California before we had to leave. And had I had a house by then, I would have paid it off, and I could have had money to take care of myself for a while. But
you had been rich.
Yeah, I've never been good at that.
You me know? Either. The AI thing is getting the San Francisco again. Right now, homes are going for $1 million over asking price.
$1 million over asking price.
Yeah.
Where? In San Francisco?
Yeah.
Why?
The two big AI things are headquartered here, and it's blowing up. So.
I hate those people.
Me
you
too.
Know, stay down in the Silicon Valley and pollute that area, but don't come to San Francisco. The prices went up on apartments because they moved in. You know, because
in fact, I just saw a unit came up in our building. I'm paying $800, and they're asking $4,000 for
that. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Well, you remember that apartment I had down in the marina? I wonder what that's going for now.
That would be, you had a big apartment there. That would be closer to five.
Wow. Yeah, here in New York, the prices are incredible. You know, an apartment like ours here, this one, you know, anywhere else, or if we left, okay, they do a little fixing up, and then they charge $7,000 for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus. Has the owner stopped harassing you?
Oh, the owner gave up, finally.
They gave up?
They gave up, yeah. They finally admitted that was the amount of money we should pay a month. And at the end of this year, our rent goes up a little bit. You know, I don't think it'll go over $600, you know. So, I mean, it's amazing. I think I've got the cheapest rent in Manhattan.
You might, yeah.
And people go, well, what do you have, 3 square feet? You know, because there are some apartments in town that go for about $600-$700, but they're like 10 square feet or something, some small amount of acreage. And it's just terrible. Just terrible. And they go for that. And we are just, you know, we're still at 460 a month.
God.
560 a month. Excuse me, 560 a month. There's nothing, and I've got 2,500 square feet, so screw all of you, you know.
Yeah, that's bigger than most homes.
Yeah. And I've just been amazed by it constantly that we managed to. But it took us like $130,000 in lawyer's fees to get this, you know. And then every now and then we'd have to call the lawyer again to have him pressure the owners because they were like Trump doesn't want to admit he lost the election. These guys didn't want to admit they lost the court deal with us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it, you know. And they just sit around on their haunches waiting for us to die.
Oh, I'm sure they can't wait.
Oh, yeah, they're going. They're very religious people. They're Hasidim. They probably say a prayer every Friday hoping we die. You know. So but it's ridiculous. I mean, we got the it's such a converse thing on how we got it that way and how we were that lucky. But we rented from somebody else. We were leasing, and we sued him, and he sued us, and they were suing everybody else. Anyway, in the end, we got him to give up the apartment, let us have it, and the judge said, here's how much it's worth. That's how it went. But it took a while. It took about 10 years, something like that.
That was an amazing battle.
Anyway, Larry Bubbles Brown is with us every Friday, usually. I don't think I've ever run you on any other day. And he is still a little animation instead of his face because, well, he doesn't have Zoom. In fact, he doesn't even have... Do you have a camera in your phone? No.
It does have. I do have a camera in the flip phone. Yeah.
Oh, really? In the flip phone? Did you hear what he said? In the flip phone, folks.
Right.
Anyway, thanks, Larry. I'll see
you. Thank you.
I'll see you next week. Bye bye.
I'll send you a picture.
Now, in its 12th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
And here we go, folks. Yes. Thank you so much, Larry Bubbles Brown. That's our regular Friday guest. You know. Let me make myself comfortable here. And let's see here. We got to get going. We only have one person waiting right now. This is getting a little... oh, God. Well, I keep talking about, you know, changing the way I do things here, and I may change them. I really do. I having only one person waiting, and it's a quality person, I might add, is kind of a pain in the ass. You know, it just doesn't say much to me about what I'm doing here. And that if anybody really cares. Now I have two great people here. Well, that's enough to do a show with, I guess. I guess, folks. In fact, there is Mark Thorner and Josh Wheeler's coming on board. Hello, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Alex. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Yeah. How are you? You're doing well?
Yeah. Yeah, a little tired. A lot of work this week. The heaviest, largest TV I ever had to install under the display, Alex.
Yeah.
98-inch.
Oh, television. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, up on a wall with a fake fancy gold frame around it.
Mm. So you have people to help you lift that damn thing?
Not enough, but we got that. We got it up.
Because I've been thinking about, you know, getting a TV set. Okay, mm-hmm. A new TV set. What I call them a TV set. That's an old term,
so,
isn't it?
So do I.
Flat screen, okay. And I'm thinking about getting a flat screen, and I might ask you which one, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking of. But anyway, and they said that if you got yourself like a 85-inch, you better have somebody around to help you with it. You know, and I quite frankly, there's no way I can actually make that. I have a chest of drawers that I put the screen on. And I think it's going to be too wide. Okay, so I don't know. I don't know what to do. But anyway, let me tell you what I'm thinking of getting. I've been looking at everything. And I've been studying everything. And I've been studying everybody's opinion about everything, okay? And here's what I've come up with. A TCL mini LED.
Yeah, they're good TVs. And they're going to be building a lot of the Sony televisions in the future.
Yeah. Oh, they are going to be doing it.
Yeah.
So TCL, which used to be like the cheap brand, which I hate to even see sitting anywhere in my household, is not really considered bad anymore, is it?
No, it's not. They're very, very good, actually. That's a good choice.
So that would not be a bad choice for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to get like a 75-inch, I think.
But it's amazing how cheap a 75-inch, you know, I'm
well,
still
this thing, up. The one I'm looking at is about $1,600.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so, you know, it seems to be everybody that I saw online talking about them, and I don't look for people who I think are being paid off by the company to say this. Just say TCL. Don't be afraid of the brand. You know, a lot of people will go for the Sony, but the Sony is like $1,000 more, maybe more than that. Now, you're working for Sony, right?
No. No. I work for a third-party company.
Oh, okay. So you don't know. You set up for various companies.
Yeah. So I look at this stuff, like this monster, I was like, $7,000, Alex, for a 98-inch television. I'm like, why?
Yeah, it gets that high, doesn't it? What brand?
This was a Samsung.
Okay. They're kind of mid-range priced. Sony is very expensive.
Well, it also depends where Sony is sourcing their panels from.
Uh-huh.
So it's either two companies. It's going to be LG or Samsung. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard TCL made these panels.
Well, now they're going to start. But it's one of those things, like once you go down that rabbit hole of, okay, who's actually making this stuff? I'll tell you one weird thing. Where I was today, I was looking at, there was some TV flat panel, RCA.
What?
I'm on, yeah, someone has licensed the trademark. RCA. I'm like, wow, there's something I haven't seen in years.
But it's a question of what they're putting in there, you know. I mean,
exactly.
What I've been told is the panels are made by other people. Like if you buy a Sony, the panel isn't made by Sony. But there are pieces of electronics inside that jack it up and make it look better and make it look good. And that really the best TV set out there is a Sony, but it costs too much. You go $1,000 less, you get the TCL, which they say is a magnificent-looking picture.
Well, look.
And you're fine.
Go down to 86th Street and take a look for yourself. You know?
Well, you know, you can't tell. I've been told that.
I know, because they never set the... But at least you could physically look at it and go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know? That's always been a pet peeve of me, is that...
But isn't there something they do at, like, Costco and whatever... It's in the full light of the store.
And no, it's out of the box, and it's just set up in demo mode. And the demo mode is what I call nuclear mode. They don't do any fine adjustments. You know, it's meant to, like, grab you, like, wow, look at that popping picture.
And then you take it home, and it isn't as good as it was in the store.
Or you have to tweak the settings, which you always do anyway.
It's like at a pet store when you buy a animal that's going, buy me, buy me, buy me, and they jump up and down. And you say, oh, that's a good active animal. I like that. And you take it home and sleeps for the rest of its life. You know. So everything I've read says the TCL is the best bang for your buck. Yep. So, you know. And it's not that I'm looking for a cheap TV set. I'm willing to pay for a very expensive TV set, but not if it's, you know, just an expensive TV set. Okay, so yeah, that it's kind of turned me off on Sony's a little bit, you know. So we'll see what happens. But you install a lot of these things or do the demos for them, and you would say it's a good bet.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to work for TCL yet, or...
No. We've installed stuff for them and Hisense. That's the other brand that I'm like, you know. And they're not like, okay. They're not like, oh, we're just going to be third tier. They're like,
they're there. Yeah, I've been told Hisense a little bit below TCL in quality, just a tad. So anyway, but they say the mini LED is the way to go, right?
Or this other technology, the RGB.
Sony has that.
A lot of companies, and even I'm impressed. I was like, holy crap, that looks pretty, you know.
Is TCL doing that yet? No.
Probably.
Really? You think so? Yeah. Okay. Oh, I will check it out. Anyway, hello to Josh Wheeler. How you doing, Josh?
Doing good. How you doing?
Yeah, you've been working.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot? Oh, okay. All right. And, of course, there's Tom Yamaguchi. Hello, Thomas.
Hi, Dose. The sun is blocking out Kevin's picture.
I know. We can't see Kevin because of the sun.
Well, it'll be gone there a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's a lot of sun there.
Yeah, right into the camera.
Yeah. Yeah. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing okay.
You've done the show three times this week.
It's all Spence pity party. I just like you said, only one person on. This is a pain in the ass. I said, okay, I'm coming on.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad you pity me. Yeah.
Also, I just glanced on Wikipedia. You know, tomorrow is going to be the 55th anniversary of the concert for Bangladesh.
Do you know who produced that? Among the people who produced it?
Your
my business manager. Yeah.
55th anniversary.
Did he lose money on that initially, Alex?
Did who lose money?
Your business manager. The word was that it did not make the...
Well, he didn't invest in it. He produced it. He helped do. He's an accountant, basically.
It's a fundraiser.
Yeah, but I heard it didn't really raise that much money as it should.
I think it did, actually, in the end, because the movie came out, that made money. And the record came out, and that was a very hot, big selling album.
Yeah.
So between all of them, I think probably. Everybody in Bangladesh was eating pretty good, you know. I remember they raised a lot of money. Yeah. But I'm glad you bring that up because I should write Gary and say congratulations. What, the 55th anniversary?
50, yeah, 1971.
When, tomorrow?
Yeah, August 1st.
I will have to congratulate him. On his 55th anniversary of his baby, you know?
Yeah.
And hello to our good friend Jeff. Hello, how you doing? You still there up in Maine?
Yeah, I'm at Maine. I'm going to this wedding tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably were having a big party today.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy had this big pot, and he takes a bunch of hot dogs, puts them in and grills them, and then puts stuff on top, and he gives that to everybody tonight.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, to kind of get everybody juiced up a little bit.
Yeah, well, who's getting married? A relative? What?
Yeah, actually, the one girl is a cousin of Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she's an interesting hippy-dippy type of girl today. Yeah.
Yeah, well, good. Good.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm happy. But so you're up there, and also there's the island.
The island, the two guys, Andrew and his cousin.
Your son is Andrew.
Yeah. They are on the island, and they're working on it.
They're working on it?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got to work on? You don't have any electricity. You don't have anything out there.
Well, they brought some batteries for themselves.
They brought batteries for themselves? What, D-cell batteries or what? You need the big ones, don't you?
I don't know. But mostly... they're using nails and a hammer to finish up this house.
This house?
Yeah, there was always a miniature little house there, but the thing always, if you were inside and it rained, you'd get wet. Inside and outside. So they're really...
So there really actually was a house on the property.
Yes.
Okay. But there was no electricity.
No, nothing like that. So what?
Believe me, that's not my idea of a good time, okay?
No, this isn't.
And apparently it isn't yours either because I don't see you out on the island.
Well, I'm probably going to go out one day and take a look and see what everybody's doing. And then say, thank you very much. Can you take me back?
Yeah.
To civilization. That's all.
But anyway, you know, it's
you know, they're guys. As long as they're working on it, they can do whatever they want. We give them materials, things like that.
Yeah.
They need.
It's great.
And they're working on it, and it'll be better. And then some of the other people can actually go there and spend a couple of weeks.
Get some electricity. Do you have a toilet there or is it an outhouse?
It's an outhouse now. Mm. But I think they got update that.
Do me a favor. Do not invite me. Okay? Do not invite me. It's not the kind of thing. It's not the kind of thing I do. You know.
Maybe if they had an airplane, we could go buy it and look at it.
Okay.
See, I knew you'd be flexible.
Yeah, I'm really flexible. Yeah, yeah. I'm an adventuring spirit who would dearly love to go there. Yes, right. Anyway, hello to Kevin, the son. What did you do with the son? You moved the house or something? What happened?
No, it's going down.
Oh, okay.
The earth is rotating. I had the earth rotating.
I heard about that. Yeah. Yeah. You're in charge of that, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's a little control board right here that I take care of.
Oh, okay. All right. How's everything up there in Oregon?
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. A little warm today. It's supposed to get warm again next few days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get stuff done before it gets too hot.
Do you get fires up that way, or is it...
Half the state's on fire.
Half the state's on fire. Jeez.
We're on fire, too. Sonoma County. Big fire. Smoke's blowing down into the Bay Area.
In Sonoma?
From Sonoma, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, my house in Palo Alto, every morning it smells like smoke. I have to turn the fan on.
Yes, where it's coming from. Mm.
We haven't had much smoke here, but most of them are on the other side of the Cascades and in the north end of Bend and Redmond and out in the Ochocoa Forest. There's some down in Medford, east of Medford. They're all around, but we haven't gotten any smoke yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on the, you know, east side of the Cascades, which is about 60 miles east of here.
Yeah. And it looks so nice out there. Just, you know, I'm jealous. Yeah, I'm really jealous. In spite of all the griping you're doing about being a homeowner up there, you know, it's got to be.
I can do it down there, too.
at the end of the day, you got to feel good about that up there.
Yep.
You know.
I do.
I mean,
nice.
Is this out in, I mean, do you, is this out in the middle of nowhere where you are, or where, how close is it to civilization?
Let's see, I'm at mile 4 off a main road, so the main road is about 3 miles from downtown, not downtown, but where all the stores and all that stuff.
So how fast could you get down there? Let me put it that way.
Well, everything is like 3 miles, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's probably 15 minutes.
Okay. But meanwhile, where your house
very
is,
easy drive.
Do you see any other houses around you?
Yeah, one across the road, one down the road. That's about it.
Yeah, but basically you're out in the country. I mean, could I call it that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say that you're in Eugene, but you're outside you're out on the west side is what they call it.
Yeah.
So, or past all the bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always wanted to, if I ever got a place to live, I'd want to live kind of like that, you know?
It's nice that it's close enough, but not too close.
Yeah. And you got 7 acres, so that's a lot of,
you know. A lot of work.
A lot of work. Yes. And of course we have our good friend Ray is here again tonight.
Hello.
Hello, Ray.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah. Apparently you're not in any play right now, right?
No, but I'm going to be directing a Shakespeare play starting on Sunday.
Oh, really? Which Shakespeare play?
The Winter's Tale.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you enjoy directing?
I do. Except I needed a break from this last thing, and I'm not getting one. The older I get, the notice I get tired.
No shit. Tell me about it.
I'm not used to it. I have to remember, because in my mind I'm still 30, and I'm 65 years old, so... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know you know what I mean.
We know what you mean.
Yeah. That's, you know, I mean, I find that as I've gotten older, it's harder for me to do this. You know, that's why the more people, the better, you know, so I don't have to work too hard.
Feel like you're not doing it for anything. I know.
Yeah. but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think once I get started, it'll be fine. It's just been a lot of pre-work, and I was exhausted from the other show, and it was just really hard.
Okay, so you cast a play like this one, right?
I cast it months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how many parts are there in it?
Well, there's a bunch of parts, but I only have 14 actors.
So they're just doubling over on some other parts?
Yeah, the people with the smaller roles will be doing like 2, 3, 4 roles.
Really? That many?
Yeah, see how it works out.
So as a director, what do you do if you've got one actor that really sucks?
Well, oh, God. Like, one time I had an actor in Death of a Salesman I was directing. He was playing Charlie, you know, mm-hmm. the next-door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this scene where they're playing cards. I don't know if you remember, but he couldn't learn it. And, oh, man, we just went over it and over it and over it. He never got it right. It's really – the worst thing is it's hard on the other actors because they – you're if you don't say the right line, people don't know what – they have to improvise and it's – can be quite disastrous.
The terrible thing I had as an actor is I had a real problem with memorization, which you really got to have for stage acting. But what I found is if I didn't put pressure on myself and I just kind of, you know, went along with it, the more we rehearsed, the more I actually learned.
Yeah, you do it. You can mind screw yourself and get stressed out about it, and then you remember less. That's the whole.
Yeah,
you have to like just trust your brain to work. You know,
and, but that,
I mean that's easier said than done. But
yeah, but you know, memorization for me was the hardest. I always felt I could probably do a movie because what you're doing is you're doing short clips. You know,
yeah,
you're doing short scenes, and you know. It's pretty easy to do that, you know, but to do
You know, often in a movie, if you see somebody doing a monologue or a long speech, but they cut to a one shot to somebody else or whatever, a lot of times that's because the actor forgot and they had to, like, get the line and then they, and, you know, and then
they're editing. I'm very impressed when I see an actor who's acting in a movie and he's doing the whole thing in one take.
In one take, and there's no other angles or anything. Yeah. Yeah, that's.
That's pretty.
But, I mean, they do that in plays all the time.
Yeah, but I'm saying that when you're on stage and you're doing a play, it starts at the beginning and it goes till it's over.
Yeah, and you rehearsed
all along
it
the
for
way,
weeks.
You got to know the lines, you know.
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
I remember once I did one play, this was when I was with a youth play acting group, and we did Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yeah.
And I had one of the main roles. I played Jonathan, who was the Boris Karloff character.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. It's a great play.
Yeah. It's a fun play. But I went out and I did something and went out and did the first act and did my role in the first act. And then I said something wrong or something. And somehow we went back about 10 pages.
I did that when I was a kid.
And then we repeated it over again, and then I went back again.
Yeah, I did that when I was like
this. I've seen those shows.
Yeah, the first act of this play lasted like 5 years. You know, it was terrible.
I did that when I was in eighth grade, I think, and the parents were – I just remember seeing them in the audience just laughing so hard. And I had a mustache, and I was sweating. I was so stressed out, and I didn't know how to put it on. I did it with double-sided tape, and it was, like, falling off, and the mustache was hanging down, and I kept getting lost in the scene and doing the same thing over and over, and the same thing, and, you know.
And I knew the end of the first act was coming up. All I had to do was get there. So at one point, I just said to the other actor who was with me, I think we should go outdoors now, and we left. You know. Tell you the greatest story I ever heard. I heard this from a woman who was on, I don't know, what was the name of the show? Guiding Light or something else.
Soap operas?
And the story she told about the soap opera was that, you know, when actors go up on a line, don't remember a line, sometimes they will walk off stage.
Yeah.
And then somebody will whisper it to them, and then they'll go back on stage. They'll make some excuse why they have to go backstage.
Right.
So they had this Broadway actor who was playing this part on Guiding Light or whatever the show she was. I'm trying to remember what her name was, Jada Rollins. And I'm trying to remember what show she was on. But anyway, she said, this one actor was a Broadway actor, right? So they're doing the show goes out live, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes place, this scene takes place on an airplane.
Yeah.
And he goes up on his line. And not knowing what to do, he gets up and walks through the door of the plane to go get his line. The director said, go to black. They went to commercial. And the guy said, okay, to the guy, woman who was playing his wife, when we come back, you're going to cry like you've never cried before. And he wrote himself off the show. I mean, he was a regular actor on the show.
Oh, God.
So that was the greatest going up on your line story I ever
heard. That's hilarious.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. it's
jump out of the plane. That's kind of the end.
And that was live TV in those days, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, they didn't do that anymore.
Huh?
I remembered something unrelated, but it was soap opera. My mother used to watch soap opera. She liked Search for Tomorrow and the Guiding Light every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during Christmas vacation, and I was home, and she was watching this. And these two actors were in front of this beautiful Christmas tree. And they're having a conversation, and they walked over away from the Christmas tree, and they're still talking. And then suddenly, there's this loud crash, like 1,000 Christmas balls hitting the floor. And both of those actors, they turned around, and they looked in the direction of the Christmas tree, and just like that, they turned around and faced each other and continued with their lines.
That's what you had to do. What else are you going to do?
Especially if it's live, and like in those days, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was live television in those days, and all those soap operas went out live.
Yeah.
They don't anymore. I mean, they're...
No.
You know, in fact, the soap opera you might see next Monday was actually recorded about 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And they do
and
them all.
They have cue cards and everything.
No, yeah, and they just, you know, they get a...
Teleprompters.
Know. Yeah. So, you know, they do them all in advance, and it's not like it used to be. That was when television was good, and things screwed up, and you had fun watching them screw up. And then you felt better about yourself, you know.
was the Milton Berle show and those shows live?
The what?
The like Milton Berle.
Milton Berle was live. Show of Shows was live.
Yeah.
All those were live, yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody remembers those shows. And they were live, yeah. And they went out as they went out, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some tapes of the Milton Berle, and they leave all the mistakes on there and everything. It's great.
What they did is they did, for the West Coast, they did kinescopes. So it was live on the East Coast, but they had a kinescope for the West Coast, because that's how when it happened, where they did I Love Lucy, they did it filmed because they wanted to do it in L.A. and they didn't want to have to do it in New York.
Yeah, and he was the first one to do that way of doing a show.
There's this book that came out, The Man Who Invented Television, about Desi Arnaz. It's a great book. Todd Purdom wrote it.
Yeah, and he came up with the idea of, well, we'll do it before a live studio audience, and we will do it with three cameras, and we will, you know, whatever. Now, here's the best story. A lot of shows later on used a laugh track.
Right.
And they got the laugh track. You know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
Right, Mark? Yeah. They used laugh tracks, but the laugh tracks they got were the only laugh tracks that were around. They were actually the audience laughing while watching I Love Lucy being done.
Yeah.
Now, it was live when they did it, but when the other people used these laugh tracks, which were isolated, they used that one. And the reason they knew it came from I Love Lucy is I think Lucy had a mother who had a particular laugh.
Yes.
And if people listen to the laugh tracks they used, that woman's laugh is very prominent in all the tracks.
I heard that when I was a kid, and I used to tell my mother, I go, that's the same woman, that's the same person screeching as I see on I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
On the other shows, you know, in the 70s.
But they did it before a live audience because they wanted that, you know, that jazzy, that feeling you get from having a live audience watching you. So, you know, that was wonderful.
But they would do multiple takes if they had to.
Oh, yeah. And they had that ability.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't just do it live.
Yeah. You know. It wasn't like a play that people were watching.
But they, you know, when they got used to doing it, it wasn't really a problem anymore. They didn't have to do that many takes on something.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So that's the history of television. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a great book, too. I recommend it. The Man Who Invented Television.
Everybody
kind of wrote off Desi Arnaz as
Desi Arnaz
as Lucy's second in command, and he didn't invent anything. He didn't have anything to do with the show.
No,
he had everything to do with the show.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
She was the physical comedy talent, but he was the brains.
He was the brains, and he came up with the new way of doing it.
Yeah,
and although she is credited with giving the go-ahead for a show at Desilu, which became, I think, fairly popular, called Star Trek.
That's true.
There'd be no Star Trek if it hadn't been for Lucille Ball, who said, "Not a bad idea. Let's give it a try."
Yeah, she fought for it. They didn't. People didn't want to do it, and she really fought for it.
She was a good businesswoman, also.
She was shrewd.
Yep.
Very shrewd. Also, The Untouchables, I think, was one of their.
That was a Desilu was also.
Yeah. What she did invent, though, later on in life, was the following blur mask, so she didn't look bad. If you ever watched the last Lucy show, the last series. The mask follows her all around. It's very prominent.
Oh, wow.
You know, but she was pretty old by that time, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I love Lucy, though. I've seen them all so many times. If I watch it again, I know it's coming, and I still laugh my ass off.
Well, the thing that I always appreciated about Lucille Ball is here was a woman who's a very good-looking woman. In fact, she'd been a Ford model when she started out in the business. That's how good-looking she was. Yeah. And she didn't mind being goofy.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of good-looking women were afraid of doing that.
Yeah.
And she wasn't afraid of it. She did.
Hell no.
She was pretty damn good, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what's happening in this world? You know, I was watching the news tonight, and we watch, ABC, okay, at 6:30. And I looked over at Marjorie and I said, you know something? I don't think there's any news today because all the stories are really lightweight. And when it finally got past the first 5 minutes where there was some kind of main stories, the rest of the news stories were like these, guy gets his leg bitten by a shark, you know, and things like that. And I just said, there's no news. And then I thought about it. Can anybody name a major news story today? I don't.
Didn't Iran bomb some ships that we were protecting or something like that?
I didn't hear that tonight.
One story broke this afternoon was they dropped charges against that the newest.
Yeah.
The government had to admit that.
Well, actually, it was what's her name.
Janine Pereiro.
Janine Pereiro.
Pereiro,
yeah, who said that they finally had, you know, determined that he didn't do any damage to the reflecting pool, that in fact it was the contractor who did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make Trump look very good, but neither does anything Trump.
Or the motorcade, either one. I mean, they drove over the fucking thing.
Yeah, but they didn't say that. But they said that it was the contract. They're blaming it on the contractor.
Well, if you think about it, if you don't prep paint right, it doesn't stick. And then somebody drives over with a car and makes a turn on it, it's going to peel up. Throw some water in there quick, and we'll tell them a box cutter did it.
But I started to think about that story, and I went, okay, now, that's very nice. They dropped all charges against him. That's nice. But how much did it cost him in lawyer's fees to get this far?
Yeah.
And who's paying for that?
Oh, there's a slush fund for that, too.
I'm sure
probably Trump, $3 billion, maybe.
I'm sure Trump's going to pay into that, right?
Right. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I, you know, somebody gets accused of something like this, and as simple as it is, and as just frivolous as it is, he still has to go out and get a lawyer, who then has to, you know. So, is he going to get money back for all the legal fees he spent to get this far to protect himself?
Probably not.
You know. I wonder if somebody maybe helped finance his defense, however, because it was a ridiculous charge, you know. And Janine,
her first press conference, she was all over the shit, like it was done deal. Hey, he ripped it up. And people kept saying, well, where's your evidence? He did it. That's what she said. He did it.
Yeah. Janine Pirro is one of the real slime bags.
Her and Hegseth come from the same fucking mold as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Judge Box of Wine.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody
Jesus,
has
man.
To has to make me remember, but wasn't there something about Janine Pirro when she was the Attorney General of, what, Connecticut, I think, that she got involved in, that she was called to account for? I'm trying to remember that story.
Yeah, that's why Fox hired her.
Huh?
That's why Fox hired her.
Yeah. Well, then Fox hired her after that. Maybe it was something with her divorce and she was cheating on her husband or something, you know, just not good. And,
She's a piece of work.
Huh?
She's a piece of work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she was a piece of work on Fox, and she got even worse with her little power trip.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how long she's going to have that job now.
I like it when she's drunk on the air. That's my favorite.
Right? Does she get drunk on the air? I didn't know
she
that.
She has been a couple times.
Box of wine.
Ten people got killed in an avalanche on Everest today.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I really hate that tourism on Everest. I think there's something inherently wrong about that, and those people deserve to die. Okay.
It's trashed. It's trashed.
No, I think these were actual, like, professional climbers. These were, like, these weren't.
These were, like, Sherpas?
Half of them, I think, were Sherpas, and the others were, like, very experienced Westerners. I think they just got, it was just bad luck. They just, an avalanche started, and they got taken away.
Well, why do you want to climb to the top of Everest anyway? Because now it's no big deal anymore.
Right. Well, it's still really hard.
I mean, it's hard, but, you know, I mean, what? I'm going to be the 1 millionth person to go up to the summit.
They still say it's still trashed as hell up there with oxygen tanks and everything else all over the place.
And you know, if you die there, they just leave you.
Oh, I know.
Pretty much.
So people who are going up to Mount Everest are walking past frozen bodies.
Yep.
I know somebody that went up there and he brought me back some rocks from up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if enough people do that, it's going to be shorter and these are going to be the tallest peak in that part of the world.
Yeah, then it's easiest to get up there, yeah.
Yeah.
They use some of the bodies as markers for the trail.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Don't go this way.
Yeah.
That dog is adorable.
It's a TV dog.
He's a TV dog?
He should be in the movies.
Uh-huh. Well, you should teach him how to act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
He's adorable. Doesn't look like he particularly wants to be held and looking at a camera.
No, he does.
You should, Ray, you should send that picture of the dog to a place called We Rate Dogs.
Oh, okay.
You get an email from them every day. They have these really adorable dogs and they rate them.
Remember the days when we used to rate women online?
Am I hot or not?
Hot or not. Yeah.
I'd rather rate dogs.
Yeah. Hot or not.
Rate dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good dog. That's a nice little, cute little dog. TV dog.
She's a mutt too.
Is it a her?
Yeah.
Get her a what do you call it? Get her a pet food commercial or something.
Yeah, get her an agent, a dog agent.
You know, that would bother me if maybe your dog was able to get an agent, but not you.
Oh. When one of my sons was young, they would want me to bring him on auditions when they had a father-son thing, and we went on three, and we got in all three of the commercials because of him. And whenever I went by myself, you know, it was a crapshoot. I hardly ever get anything.
Bobby,
it was because of my son, because he was so cute when he was little.
Bobby Slayton had a daughter, Natasha, and she grew up. And then she decided to go out for some TV sitcoms and got one.
Wow, that's great.
She got a sitcom.
Wow.
And I can't begin to think what Bobby was thinking about that. Because all his life he'd been auditioning for sitcoms and never got one.
Yeah, he talked about it all the time.
And here his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, but wasn't he friends with Rob Schneider, too?
Who?
Bobby. Was he friends with Rob
Schneider? Well, we all knew Rob Schneider. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he got one, too, or he had that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he probably already got worn in on that
one. But I used to say to him, how do you feel about the fact that your daughter has a series, but not you?
I was thinking about that show where you did, where you had Mac and Muttley.
This is a great one. This is a great one. Let's explain this. Don't spoil it yet. There was a show on TV in KPIX in San Francisco called Mac and Muttley. It was about this guy this dog named Muttley. You remember it at all, Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Yeah. I had Mac and Muttley on my show, and that morning I happened to have Bobby Slayton in the studio.
Shit.
And I said, Bobby Slayton? Meet Muttley. Muttley, meet Bobby. Bobby, Muttley has a series.
Yeah, he died about a year ago.
Who, Mac? Mac.
Yeah. Yeah, what is this? McDonald?
I don't know. I can't remember what his name was.
I forgot, but he had him on.
Yeah, a lot of these people die before. I see all these people dying every day, and I'm going, God damn it, you know. Did I have to live this long in order to see all these people die? Mm-hmm. You know? And then I said, well, I'm not complaining. You know, I'm still alive. But, you know.
Remember Creature Features?
Creature Features, yeah. What was that? Yeah. Where was that? Who was the host of that?
Bob something. It was on Friday nights. They would show like horror movies, and he would have this little show. He would do ridiculous things in between the movies.
Well, I was good friends with somebody here in New York because I worked with him, who hosted horror shows, movies. I think it was in. Was he do it in Philadelphia originally, or was it?
That's his character, Roland, first.
Huh?
He called himself Roland in Philly.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
And in New York. And then in New York.
He was Zachary.
Oh, okay. I remember Roland. Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very funny.
I remember. He was very funny. We went out one day. One day we went out to the beach or something, out to way out in Long Island or something. Because, I said, let's take a ride. So I had a car and. So he got in the car, and we went out there, and we went out to a restaurant, and we had something to eat for lunch. And then all of a sudden, there are these people, these girls looking over and staring at us. And he says, I think they just spotted a horror show host. I always thought that was, he was a very funny guy. I love Zach. He died a few years ago. Again, another one who died, but he was older than I was. I think he was almost close to 100, wasn't he?
There's 97.
97.
Yeah.
You know, in San Francisco, it was Bob Wilkins.
Bob Wilkins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creature Features.
Yeah.
And I hosted a, a lot of people don't remember this. I actually hosted a, what do you call it? A science fiction movie show. It's, you know, for Channel 20. And I was Captain UHF. That was what they called me. And I did it for a while. But it was kind of a fun show to do.
Where they had Ultraman and all that? And
no, we just had a bunch of films. I just had me and I had a little puppet, a bunny rabbit puppet that I had. And the guy who owned the station was a guy named Jim Gabbert, who's a legend in broadcasting in the Bay Area. And Jim had this dog. I think called Cody, if I remember correctly.
It was on all the time. It was on the station.
He would use him on the air a lot, right?
Yeah.
So I got this little rabbit puppet that I use on the show, and I put the rabbit puppet down, and all of a sudden, Cody grabs it and runs off with it. And I'm going, Cody, get back here with my rabbit. Cody, come here, you son of a bitch. And they all went, don't, Jim, that's Jim's dog. He'll go crazy if you call him anything, you know. So I said, let him have the rabbit. And finally he dropped it. I was able to use it, but, yeah.
He made a lot of money on Channel 20.
Did he?
Yeah, he actually owned a 737 that he would fly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No.
He did.
Really?
He loved flying. Yeah, he was a big flying guy. But I don't. Was it a 737?
I'm almost positive. Wow. I mean, you can look it up, but
I remember him
talking about it.
He had a wonderful boat that I went out on once. But he was wealthy. You know, no question about that. He really owned a 737.
I'm pretty sure. I remember him talking
maybe
about
it was
flying
a 20, one. Maybe it was a 27 back in those days. They were a little smaller.
Oh, maybe.
Could have been. Could have been, but he was a pilot. He knew how to fly those things.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah. Is he still alive? Does it say he's still?
No,
alive?
I don't think so. I think he passed away.
Really? I like Jim. Jim was a great guy. You know.
Yeah.
And
he was very creative with that UHF. Well, he had dance party. And
did he have anything to do with 36 as well?
No. 36 no. Was KICU, I think.
I had a 727.
I did a show for them on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother-in-law used to run the board down there in San Jose.
Well, can you check and see if he's alive anymore? Otherwise, I won't tell this story about him.
He did have it was a 727.
And Jim Gabbert's dead.
He is dead. Okay.
Yeah, I remember when he died, yeah.
Okay, so Jim was gay.
Yep.
I mean, really gay.
Yep.
And Channel 20, which was out in the middle of nowhere, it was out in South Bay, in the South Bay somewhere, maybe Daly City, I can't remember. Anyway, he was constantly upgrading that place, having builders come in building. But all he would hire was the best-looking guys you could find. I don't even know if they knew how to use a hammer. It didn't matter to Jim. And they'd all be wearing these, you know, coveralls, but maybe they'd take them the top down so their muscles were all showing, and they're hammering stuff. And I'm going, geez, welcome to Channel 20. And what's funny is... somebody, when I was doing this show, said to me, by the way, are you gay? And I said, no, I'm not. Not that there's anything wrong with that. No, I'm not. And they said, oh, Well, okay. We just wanted to ask. 2 weeks later, my show was canceled.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
No, I don't know if one had anything to do with the other.
It probably did.
Yeah. Alan? Yeah.
Yeah, so 20, 25 years ago, while I was still in law enforcement, a bunch of us from where I worked went to San Francisco to eat in a restaurant. It was all men, all straight men. And James Gabbert was in there. And I said, I think that guy owns Channel 20. And there were a few little comments in the group. He came over to me and he said, you're the sexiest guy I've seen all day. And I went, okay. And, you know, everybody's looking at him and looking at me and everything like that. And he says, do you know who I am? I said, I think you own Channel 20, don't you? James Gabbert? Yep. He said, I can make you feel real good for a couple of days. I said, you know, it's just not my thing. Thank you, though. You know, and the guys that were with me said, boy, you played that off well. I said, there was nothing to play off. I mean, I wasn't interested. So, but yeah, that was my experience with him.
Yeah, I actually liked Jim a lot. And after that, I still maintained a certain friendship with him, you know.
And even though your show was canceled.
Even though my show was canceled. Well, it wasn't a very good show. And
I did something with him for Channel 20 like so many years ago. I can't even remember what the hell it was.
Oh, it was called Sex in the Park, you and him. Yeah, I remember.
No, it was something. It was one afternoon. I don't even remember what the hell I did. Mm-hmm. Maybe I blocked it out.
Yeah.
They don't mention that he's dead.
No, he died.
Doesn't have his before and after.
He would have to be awfully old right now.
1950 is what it says here.
Hmm?
Born 1950. I'll look it up.
Again.
Born in 1936.
No.
36 in Chico.
Oh, okay. You're looking at something different than that.
1936 in Chico. Well, he could be as old as I am if he's still around.
Right.
But I don't think he minds me saying he was gay. Not in this day and age.
A little old. A little older.
Yeah. So anyway, we just got a few minutes left. Anything on
that? I didn't realize you had K-Pig as well. You owned and managed K-Pig.
Yeah.
He might not be dead. I thought he was
not.
Oh, well, then I'm in a lot of trouble. Anyway.
Well, he wasn't closeted. He would tell people he was gay.
He came out a long time ago.
He was closeted when I knew him.
I know he came out. I remember.
Well, good for him.
He actually came out because somebody tried to extort him.
Oh, says he's living in Sausalito right now.
Is he really?
He's like 90. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
I'm looking at a different thing now, and it does say born 1936, Chico, California, and it doesn't say he's dead.
Yeah. No, he's alive.
He owned and managed Coffee TV, Channel 20. And he also radio K101.
Yeah, he was big.
KSOL and Honolulu stations, Kiki and K-Pig.
He was a big broadcaster. I love the guy. I really love the guy. He was a decent guy.
I knew who he was, but I'd never met
him. He's even more decent since we found out he's still alive. So.
Yeah,
he's still in Sausalito.
Son of a bitch. That's amazing.
So I just said, yeah.
Anyway, anything of Josh that you want to talk about at all?
I mean, yeah, I do think the guy that was charged with, you know, vandalism was a little ridiculous. I mean, I'm not sure how Trump's people really let that go, you know, without somebody being held accountable for that. I mean, the guy was... obviously didn't do anything, and, you know, I'm not saying mistakes don't get made by police or whatever, but they were pretty, you know, they went on television and defamed the guy pretty hard. The President of the United States was defaming the guy on social media and all that, which he would say is like an official government account or whatever, but he doesn't use it as an official government account, let them archive it and all that other stuff, so... I mean, he really ought to sue, if you ask me.
I really think so.
Defamation of character.
All he was guilty of was some of
his
bottom had floated to the top. And so he grabbed a piece of it as a souvenir.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think he was the only one, actually.
I mean, was the Justice Department not weaponized there? Was that not lawfare? You know, is he not
I'm so tired.
Settlement Listen. From their lawfare fund?
I am so tired of the weaponization of all the parts of our government by Every Trump. Time. I am and he always talks about the weaponization of these things against him when, you know, no. I mean, he is just doing this like crazy. And then the billions of dollars he's making while he's president is driving me nuts. Okay?
There's nobody says nothing.
Hmm?
And nobody says anything about it.
So, Josh, how do we get somebody to do something about that? I guess we got to just win the midterms, right?
Yes.
To start.
People need to vote for different people. I mean, if they continue to return, you know, 433 of the 435 Congress people, they're.
I mean, I think Trump is sweating. He's sweating the midterms basically because he's then going to be held to account for stuff. Well, wait a minute. It's the Democrats will win. They won't be called to account for stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything, you know, as far as that goes, will really go anywhere. And it's not really worth the damage. I mean, I think he got back to where he was on account of a lot of that stuff. I mean, they need to just sort of move on from it. But, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, things are not in a positive view for him. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm sure that he'll try to exert as much pressure or whatever as he can to try to make that not happen, you know. And I would have real concern that he would try to do something even worse than that. But, you know, I mean, if things go the way they think, it could be pretty bad for him, yeah. I mean, you know, I saw some polling yesterday that just, you know, generically, Democratic versus Republican for, you know, Congress, you know, Democrats have now got a double-digit lead in that area. It's, you know, it's opening even wider, you know, because of the war in Iran, and prices still aren't going
Basically,
down.
Basically, we
know,
could say it's
clown show stuff like this reflecting pool.
We
thing,
could say know. it's the Democrats' race to lose, you know, but we will, but they might, you know. So everybody,
they probably won't do as well as people think, and I mean, even if they do, I think that they'll find a way to screw it up later.
Yeah, you have the same faith in the Democrats I have. Hey, Josh, thank you for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. I especially appreciate Mark Thorner as well. Mark, always a pleasure having you here. Tom Yamaguchi, 3 days in a row. Can it be any better? Jeff, 3 days in a row. Can it be any better? Kevin, 3 days in a row. Hey, God, nobody knew was calling the show now that I think about it. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate it. And Alan, always a pleasure having you here. Everybody, wave goodbye, and I'll wave goodbye at you, okay? There they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for tonight. We'll be getting one together again on Monday when we come back here for the pop-up show, which is our Monday show on Facebook at 4 o'clock. In the meantime, Amy Manuel is next with her fine program. If you want to call her, you just do it by going over to gabnet.net, and right there in column 3 down at the bottom of the page, you'll see a bunch of names. You'll see hers. Click on it. It'll take you right to her Zoom. In the meantime, I will see you again on Monday and then again next Wednesday. Same time, same station in life. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, of course, tell her I love her. Huh? Bye.